But imagine if he had not had those connections. Imagine if he had not been able to explain his situation so articulately. Imagine if he had not spoken English. Imagine.
Yeah, imagine. Imagine. Well, I guess the messages don't advertise on this program. It's offensive. Right, Bob? Oh, where are you?
So there
you
does are. Have standards.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
In the sense that that caller talking about Eva called up and projected this non-Christian element that we should have. It's interesting. We are products of our community. I mean, we don't know what the standards are, but they tell us.
Hey, wait a minute, Bob. I got to play this right now. It's 9:30.
Jeez, Mike, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Just, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah, he thought, Casey Kasem thought we were almost finished. We're not Casey. We got another hour of this. My God. Okay, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, did you hear the caller talking about you?
Oh, for a second there?
Yeah, for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, Bob, if anybody...
You feeling better?
If anybody says that they're the Illuminati to me and that they're boasting about it, they're all going to get their...
Yeah.
Well, that's me. I'm the Illuminati. Was the Illuminati, and I've reformed the situation. But, yes, you're talking to former member of the Illuminati.
Well, if you had said former, I wouldn't have said what I said. But anyway.
Yeah, he left. He left in disgust.
No.
I absorbed them.
You transcended them. I'm worse now than I was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You transcended them.
No, and that's
them.
Why, you know, Rod's studying, and you could say I'm insane, but I can get away with saying this stuff because nobody can believe it.
Okay, right. I just wanted to mention something about...
Heather, there's a lot, you know, there was a friend, Bob Marshall was listening to you last week, and he says, Heather, if she could just calm down, there's so much more she'd learn from me. I could tell you a lot of stuff and update your awareness of what you're worried about.
But that's what Bob Marshall says about me, everybody. If they could just calm down, the only person that he says that should get a little more manic is you.
Yes, that's right, because he knows what can happen when I become manic.
I understand.
The levels go nuclear.
I understand that my delivery is not, but I understand that I really don't care about it, and I don't want to remain calm, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say is about Bernie Madoff.
Yes.
Okay? Bernie Madoff and all the people that he's supposedly taken to the cleaners, okay?
Yeah, like the guy who used to own the Twin Towers.
Yeah, well, this is all a Ponzi scheme on top of his original Ponzi scheme because the fact that he admitted to the fact that he had done this and came right out and said, yes, I've done it, I've spoke to my sons, they're going to turn me in, and I've done it and everything, that means that all the taxpayers have to pay back every bit of money to that inside group. If he had not come out and said that, and they discovered what he had done, and it was being discovered, if he hadn't jumped and said, yes, I did it, that taxpayers would not have to pay 1 cent to all these inside people. So this was a Ponzi.
Why is that?
There's a particular legal clause that is about that. If he comes out and admits to it that he has been running a Ponzi scheme, they must all be paid back. And it will be the taxpayers that are paying them. If he had not done that, they wouldn't have got a cent. This is why it is so disgusting about Madoff, because this is a Ponzi scheme on top of another Ponzi scheme. They all know what he's doing. They all know that he's going to milk the public and the taxpayers so that they can have whatever they've got. Whether they invested or not, because we don't know that, whether they invested and how much they invested.
That's an interesting idea.
See, they can say anything, and now the taxpayers are going to have to pay for it. And when it comes to the $700 billion that was given up, and the so-called banks that got the money are not giving money to anybody. They were given that money so that they would give loans to homeowners, et cetera, and keep them going, but they are not. They're refusing to pay out that money. This is another huge scam, and Obama is being used at the top level to make sure that the American people are going to be milked and built to the point of absolutely destitution. That $700 billion is going to a certain group who does these things every few decades to get the money. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand. Well, I think. Why do you think that Obama doesn't call him Madoff, he calls him Madoff?
Well, whether he says Madoff, Madoff, mm-hmm. potato, tomato,
right.
It doesn't matter, okay?
Okay.
Obviously, they've got some goods on Obama. They've got something to blackmail him about. He's been put in.
Oh, boy.
And this happens to everybody that gets into office. They do
okay,
not
get Heather,
it.
Can I respond, Heather? Let me tell you. You are 100% right, but I don't know if you heard the show. I was in New York that week when Madoff went public, and I was the one who told him to go public. And I announced that on this show when I came back from being in New York City on December 12th, 13th, and 14th. And so you were exactly right. But there's more to understand when you have a virtual economy, what's involved here. That's where you have to listen
to my
guest.
I know there's a virtual economy. I know it's on bits of paper and so on. I know fractional reserve lending, you know, $1 in the bank when actually they're lending out $800 or $5,000 on that $1. Fractional reserve is completely disgusting. And it had to do with 1913 when the Rothschild Mafia took over the banking in North America.
You know that the Rothschilds are bankrupt now?
Oh, please, please.
They do not have anything due to the virtual economy. That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm saying right now it's starting to catch up with all of these crooks, okay? But as long as this Ponzi scheme's been going on, they've been making a fortune off everybody else. And now all of a sudden it's collapsing because it's going into the whole global economy and it's not going to work out the way they were hoping it. So they're doing every conceivable thing to get every ounce of money and assets and everything from the people before they go down. That means getting all kinds of properties in North America, everything else like that. It's a big, huge scam.
These people
are
Heather,
greedy.
Do you read worldreports.org, which gives you the details?
No,
of what
I've never read World Reports, okay?
Oh, that's what you should be reading because you're a bit behind on that, knowing exactly what's happening right now. You know the general picture, but the general picture is gone. It's even worse than that.
I know it's worse. I don't even have to read World Reports to know that the whole situation is worse. But don't forget, money...
Tell us something Bob, that will wreck
Bob,
this station and knock this show off because I'll
don't
tell
want
something
it, I don't
and
want
you
to
die.
Know. I don't know.
So you tell us what's – give us some information
minute,
that you
Bob,
said a couple
Bob,
weeks ago would form this show to
Bob,
shut up.
Bob, I do not want to knock the show off. If there's any kind –
Oh, that's not going to happen. I'm
no,
here. Nothing's going to happen to
no,
show.
No, I'm just
so
saying –
So go ahead and tell us the information. I'm telling you this.
No. Listen. Trying to upstage me and get me to tell you something like that has to do with a whole list of other factors, okay? So I'm saying I do not want this show to come off the air. I don't want any show that has any kind of truth in it at all, even if it's 1% of the whole show. If it's the truth, it's got to get out there, okay, because everything is censored up to the eyeballs. We're living in a huge matrix of illusion. It's just totally illusion. The Buddha said everything is illusion, and it certainly is, especially on this side of the ocean. I'm sure it is on the other. So
no,
I'm saying,
there's no illusion.
So I'm saying we're living
There's
in a
no illusion, Heather. No illusion.
Bob.
Here I got Frank J. Federico here. He has words of importance.
You can pick up the newspaper any day and see tragedies.
Yeah, you can pick up the newspaper every day and see tragedies.
Yeah, and yes, and the world is full of martyrs. I go walk out on the street on Yonge Street. I see martyrs walking down there. People in terrible condition, et cetera, and so on. The
can
world.
I just on that note, you just brought something into my mind. I was up at Shepherd Subway Station this week, and I was going up the escalator, and I saw a man coming down the stairs, the escalator. He was going onto the platform, and he was he had long hair, disheveled looking. And I looked down at his trousers, and they were literally just
rags.
They were all torn apart.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like something out of some... And it looked like an illustration of homelessness.
Yeah.
Right there in front of me.
Yeah. No, I see it every day, you know, this kind of thing. And we are living in a situation where incredibly greedy, disgusting people who have absolutely no concern for any kind of fellow man. Or
I know them. I know them very well.
I know them very well. And I have to say,
Heather, it's technology.
What? All right. Well, let me get on with I got to talk about Kyrgyzstan. I think you've had a fair whack at this.
Okay.
I think the audience gets it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for that call. So Kyrgyzstan. Let's talk about triumphs here. sort of. They say that this this base that they have, this U.S. air base, it's history. They're done. Kyrgyzstan said on Friday its decision to shut a U.S. air base was final, dealing a blow to Washington's efforts to retain what has been a major staging post for U.S. forces fighting in Afghanistan. Isn't that great news, Bob? Bob? Where did Bob go?
Sorry, Greg. I'm in the bathroom. I had the mute off.
Oh, okay.
No, that's great, but that's more important. That fits in with World Reports. America is no longer powerful, Greg.
Well,
it's been cut off.
This is case in point, and yes. it's very clear in this media report. It's very clear how everything works. It's simple. So getting back to this, the United States said it was still in talks. They're down on their hands and knees with Kyrgyzstan about keeping the Manas base in the impoverished former Soviet Republic. Well, I'll get back to that in a minute about the impoverished Soviet Republic, Kyrgyzstan. And it's a traditional Russian ally. The decision has been made, said Kyrgyz government spokesman Abek Sultangaziev. The U.S. Embassy and the Kyrgyz Foreign Ministry are exchanging opinions on this, but there are no discussions on keeping the base. They just want to get rid of that thing. Kyrgyzstan's stance has set a tough challenge for new U.S. President Barack Obama, who plans to send additional troops to Afghanistan to try and boost NATO efforts to defeat Taliban and al-Qaeda insurgents. That's his plan for war. That's his plan to keep the economy going. Good old Obama. Kyrgyz President Kurmanbek Bakiyev announced the closure of the base this week after securing more than $2 billion, $2 billion in financial aid and credit from Russia at talks in Moscow. And this just left the United States scrambling to find other supply routes in Central Asia to get stuff to a landlocked Afghanistan. And they sent Petraeus there, General Petraeus, a week or so ago to get down his hands and knees and beg for this base. Speaking in Tajikistan, another U.S.-Soviet republic in Central Asia, the U.S. envoy to Dushanbe said Tajikistan had agreed to offer it its airspace for transport of non-military NATO supplies to Afghanistan. What the hell would the United States want with that? They just want to move military stuff in there. They want to move bombs and rockets and bullets and destruction elements in there. A Western diplomatic source told Reuters separately on Thursday the United States was close to a deal. And I should add Canada. I mean, Canada wants to do all this too. Move in there. We've got a big contingent. The United States was close to a deal with Uzbekistan. Oh, gosh, the Uzbeks. Oh, yeah, they're going to do a deal that would allow Washington to open a new railway supply route for its troops in Afghanistan. The United States also seeking to reinforce supply routes to Afghanistan that bypass Pakistan, where convoys face security risks, says it is still hopeful the base can be retained. The Pentagon still wants this. Now, Russia is irked by this U.S. military presence, and I don't blame them. And you can see, I put it together, maybe I'm slow, that this middle-of-the-road type of Trotskyist or traitorist regime that happened after 1953 in the Soviet Union, they, in trying to expand into capitalism, they couldn't assume these impoverished states. They needed to get rid of them. It wasn't that these states wanted to really leave. They were pushed out. And you're on the air. Oh, for heaven's sake, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Good morning, Daniel. Good morning, Bob. Rick from Hamilton.
No, I'm Greg. I'm Greg.
Greg, sorry.
Yeah. I'll get my name.
Daniel it's, Silent.
I'm Greg
hello
Silent.
In the there,
silent. Right? Silent Daniel. It's Greg and Silent Daniel.
Well, when I say Greg, the Daniel is silent.
Oh, okay.
When you're
very good.
That out, make sure you look for the accent.
All right.
Morning, Bob. How's the west? West there in the Pacific Ocean.
That's awesome. I'll send you some sunset scenes if you want some.
Well, that's interesting that you would say that because I'm trying to turn the flipping radio off and I can't reach because of the cord.
Okay, I'll give you a moment.
Will you?
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. This is Rick from Hamilton. He does a great Obama. He's he always phones in and not always. I don't want to be predictive of what he's going to do or what he's going to say. You back with us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. It's good to hear you guys too. I've been following you guys faithfully as usual, but and you know how I roll. I don't call unless I got something. So.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, Bob actually has piqued my interest a little this morning.
Yes.
I don't really know how you can be a former Illuminati, but I have a question which I'm really kind of... I know for a fact I could find out for sure, but the problem is that I'm too afraid to ask it over the air.
All right. Well, how can we do this then?
I don't know because, I mean...
All right. Are you frightened? Look, if why don't you ask it? I don't want to dump though, because then we sound weird after it.
Well,
maybe I should. Here, let me. Why don't
no,
I put?
Let him at, yeah, we'll dump well, it.
No, I don't want to dump. I don't want to dump. It just sounds
okay,
so bad.
Bob, would you mind? Even though I'm just a voice from Hamilton and whatnot, but I have noticed since we met 4 months ago. That you're usually intrigued with what I say, whether I'm being a goofball or whether I'm making a political statement. So, with that being said, is it possible to get your address in Hawaii and I will send you correspondence?
Well, do you have email?
No, I
don't.
Prefer to be low tech, my
oh.
friend, and I can explain that in the letter too.
Hey, listen. Why don't you write here? Why don't you send your letter here? And I'm sure Bob would never give out his address.
That's fine.
Is this okay, Bob? And then I
yes,
will.
But,
Bob will reveal it to me, I think.
Yes, but Greg, I'll tell Rick. If I give him, I'll email. We'll somehow get the address to him. And if anything happens to me, you're gone, Rick. You're dead. Okay, I'm threatening you.
It's not your ass I'm worried about, my friend.
Okay, Rick. Listen.
Yes.
If you want to, would you want to email me?
Why don't you give me a mailing address?
All right. It's 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, and I just don't have the postal code, but you can probably find it somewhere, right? Look it up. 55 Gould Street. Send it to my attention, Greg Duffel, International Connection, CKLN, and 55 Gould Street, Toronto. All right?
Rick, I want to tell you, I know Hamilton. I've had a place at 31 Emerson Street near McMaster. You know that place?
Yes, sir. I work for a large bottling company for soft drinks. And, yes, I'm in all four corners of the city and province.
Yes, 31 Emerson. I don't know if the old couple is still there. I mean, that's 35 many years ago.
Well, I tell you what I will do. I will make them a nice toasty sandwich and send it to them, compliments of you, only because you're that kind of quality, my friend.
All right, Brick.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye-bye. I don't know whether that was, you know, not the usual kind of content from Rick. So NATO says it's concerned about Russia's possible involvement in the Kyrgyz decision. I mean, why can't Russia be involved in a decision when NATO's involved in a decision?
Russia's involved. This is a fulfilling of Peter's prediction 20 years ago. Russia will dominate at least the first half of the 21st century, Greg. I mean, this is the consolidation, right? Russia knocked off the Bolsheviks. They've been in retreat for 20 years, and now they're gone, evaporated, as Heather's intuiting, and look to Russia as a new, amazing country.
Igor Chudinov,
What do you say? What do you say to that, Greg? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Is Putin Stalinist, though? How would you see him?
I don't know. No, he's...
He's an update
of Stalinist. It's strange how I see, for some reason, I see Medvedev differently than I see Putin. I see them as two different individuals. Maybe I'm just being fooled, but I the Americans seem so intent to link Medvedev and Putin as one, or as Medvedev as just some kind of puppet of Putin's. But I see Medvedev as different.
Yep, and they're in harmony, they're in resonance, but they have their fields of responsibilities, and it is a Stalinist kind of operation there, but a new one, a modern one for the 21st century.
Yeah, but Putin is definitely capitalist-oriented. You're on the air.
I have an unrelated question.
Yes.
And I'd like to ask you off the air.
Hold on. I don't even know. Okay, I'll put you on hold. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get this important question off the air, and then just if I can, just a sec.
Thanks.
Okay, let me see if I can do this.
You want me to carry on?
No, I'm going to pick up. Hello? Can I do this? Hello, are you there? All right, okay. Okay, we're doing this. Now you can't. No, it's okay. It's okay. There's only one way to get in touch. Are you there, Bob?
Yes.
You can't hear the caller, right?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, caller. Ask the questions, and we'll see how dangerous it is. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yes. Okay. What is it? What is the topic? All right. Okay. Okay. I'll talk about that. All right.
Dave Bachner listening?
Okay.
Dave Bachner, would you call in, please? Dave Bachner.
Right. Now the.
I'm asking for Dave Bachner to call
in. Yeah, please. I don't know I'll talk about this on the air. I don't see any reason why this question could not be asked on the air. I just don't understand it. But there's nothing private there, I don't think.
Isn't it amazing that our audience is censoring itself and this is we're actually having a secret meeting, it's becoming.
I don't get it. I don't get it. This is our caller was interested in getting FM reception off of cable. And let me fill the caller in on this. Now, what's happened with the cable is that Rogers has discontinued its service in this area. I suppose all of Rogers has discontinued carrying an FM signal over their cable and where you could plug it in to an antenna on the back of your stereo set. This has been completely discontinued. They made a deal with the government to give something back in lieu of this, and what it is that on the digital boxes that they distribute, you can get many, many FM stations, local FM stations, by going to certain channels on there. So that's it. Rogers has got rid of that. But I was out west in Victoria, and Shaw, not this will help many of the listeners who are listening now, but Shaw, it seems, keeps this FM ability through the cable going because they don't offer any of the local radio stations on their digital service. So, as far as FM being used to pick up and improve signal or get the signal better, you're done now. That's it. They've taken it away, and just you have to use the cable box if you've got it. For those of you that do, I do. But I mean, we watch television with that thing. Not listen to radio. So, I mean, some people can listen to radio. I guess it's a good signal if you want to record it off of there. You know, if you want to tie it up, or if you got another box. But I mean, most people watch television. They don't listen to radio with television, right, Bob?
So Greg,
yeah.
What's interesting is, the effect of the memories of Daniel are fading, and I'm being absorbed, and people are responding, and a level of paranoia is entering as my reality seems to permeate the show here. I mean, people are beginning to realize they're involved in very confidential meetings here on the air.
Yeah. A very, very interesting off-topic call. Anyway, getting back to Kyrgyzstan, which I'm very interested in this region. I'm very interested in all things former Soviet. Now, the prime minister says, we have not received any proposals from anybody about this U.S. Base closure. He says Kyrgyzstan wants to shut the base because it disagrees with U.S. methods in Afghanistan. They just disagree with what they're doing. The Kyrgyz government needs parliamentary approval, but this is going to be, they're going to do it. Simple majority of votes is needed. The Russian aid package due to be approved by Parliament on Friday includes a $1.7 billion discounted loan to help Kyrgyzstan build a hydroelectric power plant. That's more than the Americans will ever offer them. Russia, while blowing cold on the U.S. military presence in Central Asia, now listen to this, has politically backed the NATO effort in Afghanistan. Moscow says it will be flexible to U.S. requests for supplies to be allowed to cross its territory. So I thought that was strange. Now, here's some more reasons for the base closure. And everybody's chiming in on this in Kyrgyzstan, the foreign minister, everybody, the prime minister. This is another reason that I found why they want to close this base. He added that his country is upset. Igor Chudinov said that he's upset that the case involving a U.S. serviceman who shot and killed a Kyrgyzstan citizen has not been resolved. So they have the same problems that these status of forces agreements that the United States has in other countries like Korea, with these servicemen going and committing crimes, murders, rapes, theft, you name it, while they're in country. Petraeus, the general, American general, speaking to reporters in Kurdistan on January 19th, said that U.S. assistance to the country adds up to about $150 million per year. $150 million. The Russians are moving in billions, it seems, isn't it? Wasn't it billions they were talking about? So the Americans just can't raise the cash to buy their way in to various countries. We might be seeing the retreat of the United States, or...
Which is what I've been telling.
Yeah, or
I predicted this in January 2008. There is no money in the United States. The United States is nothing.
And yesterday...
That's my point. If you want to understand the world, you've got to absorb that, and proof
and,
will come.
And yesterday, on a program on CNN, a money program, a special show with Ali Velshi, I guess he was a former Canadian... he certainly was broadcaster here on ROB-TV, Report on Business, working for Bell Globe Media. He went down to CNN a couple of years ago and seems to be a high flyer there. He was talking to people, a whole group of experts, and they're saying that this financial crisis is really going to hurt the United States' ability to walk in and start pushing their weight around. And
yep.
that the and Ali Velshi started talking about the foreign debt, that... How he was explaining to the audience how on the magic map, on this magic wall they have, where the television wall, where they touch screen and they're moving graphics around and everything. He's got these little piles of money, graphic piles of money. He's moving them around to show the audience, the audience that can't listen. They need to see visuals all the time. like, you know, he's dealing with people in, you know, grade one, 5 or 6 year olds. He's showing how... all of these countries buy the treasury bonds of the United States, and it's this debt that's keeping the United States going. And it was very helpful to me, I must say. It was a good thing that he was doing it at a six-year-old level. And what he did, he was moving these little things around, and frankly, you couldn't really see what the graphic was. It just looked like a little box, a little gray box. And then what he did was when he moved the box over to China, he says, well, China holds a lot of our foreign debt. So then he touched either side of this little tiny graphic box and stretched it out, and then you could see that they were graphics of piles of cash, and it was huge. Over China, it was just gigantic, all this cash, American treasury stuff. And I thought, oh, I get that, I get that. That's my six-year-old level. I can understand. It's sort of cartoony-looking with the money. And so he's explaining to the American public how they are going to lose complete power in the world and how they're going to be devastated financially.
And it's already happened, started 2 years ago.
And the whole American dream, I guess, the American dream is that you finance your house, your big house, your big car or more cars and traveling all around the world. All that financing is going to be just going away. And they're going to be stuck at home in smaller homes. They're going to have to divide them up and rent them out. And all buildings are going to cease, and we're just going to retract. And
the work camps.
Yeah. Yeah, because people won't be able to pay their bills, and who knows what will happen. And it just and these people were on the air, and they didn't have anything really positive to say about what was going to happen. It was just the other thing that I heard was they were talking about what kind of programs this first stimulus package, so-called, was going to be directed towards. And they started mentioning various items, and they were all involved in keeping order to stop insurrection. It was all going to police and infrastructure and making bridges. And it was to keep control over the population, because I think the first thing they're worried about here with the massive job losses that have happened not only in the United States but in Canada over the last couple of months is that with people being idle, they're going to be involved in all kinds of bad behavior, most of them. And
that's right, and I address that on my cash flow show every Wednesday on the other networks. I'm leading this rebellion on doing all kinds of things, but you can see, Greg, why I got out of New York City and came to Hawaii
yeah.
at the right time.
Good move.
Very good move.
Good move.
But it is true.
You're so smart.
It's all over for North America. And, I mean, I hope Andy and Dave 2 and Dave 3, 4, and 5 and you, Greg, you know, figure out how to get through this. Probably you need my help.
I'm counting on it. Why do you think I have you on the show?
Now they know.
Getting back to...
Greg realized this a year ago, you know, when I visited him. And, you know, sorry, Daniel, but the world has changed and you had to be removed so that I could come in here and give Greg a reason to continue on the air.
Hey, do you notice that we're the only three...
Only releasing this information to you people.
That getting back to this Kyrgyzstan, I guess it was Petraeus said that the prime minister of Kyrgyzstan had asked him about the killing at the base, the serviceman killing somebody. And he says, I noted that the investigation to that case has been reopened and that I would brief him when the findings and actions are complete. Now, this incident took place in December 2006. So this is over 2 years ago. The U.S. airman was immediately transferred out of Kyrgyzstan and the dead man's family was offered compensation. Bakiyev said Tuesday, this is the prime minister of Kyrgyzstan, said that he was not satisfied with the inquiry and that his government's inability to provide security to its citizens was proving a serious concern. Good for him. The Kyrgyzstan's government's decision will go before parliament. The president would then sign the law and the United States would have 180 days to hand over the base. I guess that gives them 180 days to figure out whether they want to attack Kyrgyzstan.
They're not going to attack, Greg. It's over.
Kyrgyzstan also has a Russian military base at Kant that opened in 2003. The Russian newspaper Kommersant reported Tuesday that Russia would offer Kyrgyzstan a $300 million 40-year loan at an annual interest rate of 0.75% and write off $180 million of dollars of Kyrgyzstan's debt. And Hillary Clinton said that it's regrettable that what Kyrgyzstan is doing.
Yeah, she and Obama are both under house arrest, and so is President Bush, and the whole gang of them. They're under duress now, and the people are gradually going to realize. You know, my friend was telling me that on L.A., people call, you talk about insurrection and mm-hmm. people needing to be policed. They're calling into L.A. talk shows and bragging about their little neighborly groups and the scams they're pulling off on other people to survive. And they know that nobody knows who they are, and they brag about it.
Well, there are whole shows showing how you can scam money, and it just looks dead easy if you've got the guts to do it. It just seems... Like, everybody just goes, I can get involved in this. It's easy. I can get away with it, and I won't go to jail.
And look at
in China, these people who were involved in trying to make money on putting poison into food, they put them on trial, and they execute them. I mean, I don't know whether that dissuades people from doing it, but, I mean, if I was thinking about it, if I was on the edge... I'd think about it. I would if I was going to get a 2 month suspended sentence. I'd go, well, let's do it again. If I was going to lose my life, I'd really think twice about it. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg. Sorry, I'm going to call in again.
No problem.
I was going to say that most of this has been caused by the Straussian, Sabbatean neocons who did so many horrible things in the last three or four presidential. You know, groupings, the Bushes and everything else like that, that there is a huge backlash around the world. There has been money taken out of the United States. People are boycotting them silently and so on. They do not like the idea of preemptive war. So every nasty thing that these neocons did to so many people around the world, it's all coming back. The backlash is going to make the people in the States go down. It's all being worked out, planned out, et cetera. I hope Putin will do something positive in the sense of getting rid of these pariahs somehow, and that somehow things will balance out. But basically, the United States and their administration has been so disgusting and been so repellent to the world at large that now the American people... who have been duped by their media, et cetera, to go along with these characters, are now going to pay the price, unfortunately, for their stupidity.
Oh, well.
And Canadians too, Heather.
Yeah, I know. I know.
We're part of them. We're part of that whole machine,
well,
whether we like it or not.
Unfortunately, yep. Yes. But we have a huge country here with tremendous resources. And, of course, they just can't wait to get their hands on it. That's why that disgusting Straussian Stephen Harper is trying to manipulate Canada so that they will have that as well. Please research the Straussians, the neocons, Sabbateans. You'll find out who's behind all of this.
Okay, we'll do that.
What their philosophy is.
Research Dr. Beter. Beter predicted this 25 years ago.
Okay, that's what's happening.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
You know, Straussian means Leo Strauss, the famous professor at the University of Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Did he die recently? Or?
Oh, he died a long time ago.
Did he?
Yep. Matter of fact, that's just a cover. I mean, Heather's not going to listen to this, but
yeah.
The Straussian thing is a cover for the Bolsheviks who took over the Pentagon, who actually were Stalinists. You know, they have an old-school Stalinist and this new-school Christian Stalinist that's Putin.
No, we don't like that. We don't like that.
I know, but that's what they are. Did you ever notice the old patriarch standing beside him?
Oh, you mean the one who's just, they just elected him, right? Metropolitan Kirill, elected on Tuesday. As the new leader of the 165 million Russian Orthodox believers?
Yeah, you read Dr. Beter.
He's seen as a modernizer.
These are the Skopsis who worked with the Bolsheviks in 1917 and were betrayed by the Bolsheviks, plotted through Khrushchev and then Gorbachev, and have now secured local power, and then Putin intersects with the new post-Bolshevik structure. So all this explaining Dr. Beter. If you're a serious listener to the show, you got to read Dr. Beter to know all that we're experiencing was predicted 20 years ago. And then I talked to Dr. Beter after he died through the Evergreens.
Well,
and Dr. Beter updated a lot of stuff to me.
Well, the only good thing about this show not being on more and being able to listen to it every day is that it just gives you more time to go to the Dr. Beter site and listen to archive programs of his.
Excellent point. It's all about homework, this show.
You're on the air.
Yeah, you know how they, when Florida, the civilians got out to the military camp there, where they had lots of, bedding and places, and the troops just pulled their guns out and said, "We represent the state, not the people. Get lost. Go back and drown."
Oh, yeah, I've heard that a lot, you know, that in elections there'll be, I have very, very intimate knowledge of this. I won't go into how I have intimate knowledge of this, but let's say you go and you're in some kind of a club and you got members and you elect someone who is your representative. And then when they get into their position, they say, "Oh, I don't represent, my first job is to represent the interests of the whatever." You know, not you. I don't really represent you. Oh, wait a minute, but we voted for you, and it's the same in when you go and vote for these liberals and conservatives. You vote for them. They talk about a bunch of local issues when they're campaigning, and then when they get into power, they go, "Oh no, but we have to satisfy our trade agreement with the World Trade Organization." That's the first priority.
Obama did it.
Or NATO.
Obama's saying that.
Yeah, or NATO. We've got to satisify this. I mean,
yeah, well, what's the Fry Corps for? It's the old gag, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean, the Fry Corps?
Mm-hmm.
That, so Daniel thinks sobriety's going to save him from insanity, doesn't he, Bob?
I missed that last sentence. Who's going to save who?
He thinks that Daniel thinks that sobriety is going to save him from insanity.
That's dumb, isn't it, Bob?
That is.
Yeah.
But that's changing the topic.
Yeah, hey, but what's Daniel sobriety got to do with anything?
Staying away from
Bob,
you mean.
Well, he's one of those, you know. He thinks he knows what he's doing.
Let's knock Daniel, our executive producer, for a while.
Hmm?
Yeah, he's still the executive producer.
No, Daniel is he's an immigrant, ignorant immigrant. Now, he's not like Eva, a media ecologist, and that's why he's ignorant. He's just an ignorant immigrant.
Well, he's young, I
How
guess.
Dare you, Bob? That's not right.
We got Greg going.
That's not right.
Going.
Yeah, we should let him go back to his topic there, because that's a nice little safe null where no one gets...
Yeah, Greg, let's go back to your soft
And
topic.
I'm not thinking too fast.
Yeah, okay.
My bottle's waiting.
He's like, you know Tom reminds me of? And this is going to be just off the radar for most people. He reminds me of, he's like our Oscar Levant. Do you know who I'm talking about, Bob?
Geez, that's familiar. Was he a folk singer?
No, he was you're thinking of Oscar Brand.
Right.
No, Oscar Levant was a famous pianist, and he was in Hollywood, and he was in lots of movies. In fact, I saw him in a movie the other night. It was the life story of George Gershwin, and Oscar Levant was a very good friend of George Gershwin's, and they made a movie shortly after Gershwin died, and Oscar Levant is in it. And I was Catherine was the woman with whom I live. She's been very ill lately, and she was sitting around watching Turner Classic Movies, and you know, I'm busy doing stuff, and I sometimes come down into the room and watch what she's looking at. And I walk into the room.
Worrying about Dave Cooper.
Yeah, and I walk into the room. That, you know, he's like your Moriarty, isn't he? Like you, he's like, as Sherlock Holmes is to Moriarty, Bob Dobbs is to this person that you always refer to, this mysterious individual. It's strange. He's like your secret enemy. It's a war between the two of you, but no one else can see that person. Nobody else knows who that is. But anyway, getting back to it, I walk into the room, and it's this, I don't know, movie from 1943 or something, and I'm going, hey, that's Paul Whiteman. And I go, oh, look, Oscar Levant. And Catherine's looking at me going, how do you know who these people are? and I had to think about it. You know, why do I spontaneously just blurt out these people's names when I see them? And for modern audiences, they're just completely obscure. And I go, the cartoons. You see caricatures of these people in the cartoons, in the old cartoons from the 30s and 40s. So I'm familiar then because I questioned who they were then. Who were these people? And then I did research and found out who they were. And so I know them now. And
when you were 15.
Yeah, or even younger. And then and then when I was a kid, I remember, like, I guess about 8 years old, 8, 9 years old, there was this really wacky game show that was on CBS in the Sunday afternoons. And they had a panel of about, I don't know, there had to be 15, 20 people, famous people. And Carl Reiner, who's the father of Rob Reiner, the director and so on. Carl Reiner was the host, and it was just wacky stuff. And it looked like they had to edit this thing to smithereens just to be able to put it on the air, and because there were so many contributors. And Oscar Levant was on it, and he was completely strung out on drugs by this point, like hard drugs. But they had him on the program. I guess it was the only work he could do. And he'd sit there smoking a cigarette, hear this great pianist. But he was incredibly witty as well. So that's how I knew who Oscar Levant was.
Yeah, did you read Mad Magazine Live as a kid?
Whenever I could get a copy of it, yeah. I mean,
well, why couldn't you get a copy?
Because we couldn't afford things.
But Mad Magazine would have given you a good media profile, Tribal Encyclopedia people, because they satirized everybody, right?
Brilliantly. Yeah. And, yeah, that was another thing. In the library, sometimes they'd have a Mad Magazine, and I'd just pore over it. Not only did I find it interesting from a satirical point of view, but also the drawing, the artwork in it was just fantastic. Jack Davis, a fantastic cartoonist, and so many, Mort Drucker, just really amazing artwork. I love the way they drew hands, and they'd caricature. Sometimes they'd get the caricature dead on of somebody. And then they'd have to move into another angle, and it wouldn't be so good. But anyway, you're on the air.
Well, you guys were talking about what that last caller sounded like. To me, he sounds like Arlo Guthrie.
Okay.
You know, the 70s folk singer?
Right.
Yeah, I was listening to a song of his, the motorcycle song, something like I Don't Want a Motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
Or I Don't Want a Pickle, I Just Want My Motorcycle.
Yeah, I remember that. That was good.
Do you know the movie
Elvis
Restaurant?
If anybody's got that and they can play it, you'll see. He sounds sort of like that.
Yeah, I'll bring that.
Do you know the movie Elvis Restaurant, or is that too far back?
Yeah, I saw a bit of that, I think. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, 40 years ago, but it's about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was I remember listening to that when I was a kid. They used to have on CGRT, the there used to be a station that was here on Ryerson campus, and they'd had a folk show every week, and they'd play that song. And I think, wasn't Alice's Restaurant like a 20-minute song?
Yep. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is. Caller, go to 5 by BeingFiveBody.com and look up in the Being Five Body section the best of Radio Unnameable, and you'll hear all these people talking to Bob Fass. It's all there. You want to hear about Alice? He's there, or whatever the guy's name. Who are we talking about?
Arlo Guthrie.
Arlo Guthrie.
We're talking about Tom, the caller, reminds Boschko. It's Boschko, right?
Yeah, Boschko?
Hi, Boschko.
Hi.
He's a good guy. He's a tough guy. Yeah. But Boschko is a fantastic. If our audience doesn't know who Boschko is, because they would know from shows past, but I'll just give a brief bio or just something about Boschko that you might find interesting. Boschko goes and is very intent on saving our planet, really, one person at a time. And he tries to get other people involved, and he goes and finds other people's refuse that is going to go into a landfill, and tries desperately to figure out how he can reuse it, make it into something, find it a home. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that can be reused, a lot of valuable resources.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so, we just throw this stuff out, and it's, you know, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of work and effort to extract it and refine it and make it into a product, and we're just throwing it out.
Yeah, Boschko really puts a tremendous amount of personal effort into this. I've seen it. He's really, you're remarkable, Boschko.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know, maybe I could hook up with somebody so we can get something started to divert a lot of this stuff that can be reused.
Yeah, he goes around on a bicycle, and sometimes he has a cart, he's built his own cart that sits on the back of his bike, and he goes around and goes into refuse containers and hauls out all kinds of stuff. In fact, some of the equipment in the International Connection headquarters that we use, that Daniel and I use to prepare this program every week, Boschko has been instrumental in finding computers.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of computers. I got them out of a dumpster.
Yeah, we're using them. We're using them.
And, oh, my.
So,
I had a lot more. I had about 17, but my mom, she threw up a lot of them.
Yeah, I offered them to the station even. No takers, of course. And but Boschko is just incredible. I mean, he'll show up. He says, "Oh, I've got some." He phones up and goes, "I got some computers. You need any?" I go, "Well, okay, I guess." And he says, "Okay, I'll come over Wednesday afternoon." All right. He arrives. He's got a couple of computers. Danny pushes, takes them apart, gets them working, takes a few spare parts, shoves them in there. Boom, bingo! Got a computer up and running.
Yeah, and they're pretty powerful too.
Yeah, they are.
2000, 2001.
Yeah, we're using them. Thanks, Boschko. And other stuff. He brought a mini disc player over. I mean, it's a little bit broken, but I'm able to use it for certain tasks. You're really great, Boschko. I've met so many wonderful people doing this program, in the audience. I'm going to restrict that. In the audience, I've met really wonderful people that have somehow been attracted to this show. And that have got in touch with me, and Boschko's one of them. So thanks. That's a little tribute to you, Boschko.
Sure. Also, some people might know me from some past shows where they found out I was kicked out of the U of T.
Oh, yeah.
Men's washroom.
Yeah, that's good. Those
are
good stories.
I thought about that, but apparently I'm still banned.
You are, huh?
Yeah, I tried to make an appointment to see to go to the Faculty of Dentistry because their prices are lower than, regular dentists.
They've stopped you.
Yeah, they said, like as I was trying to make an appointment, they said, we can't admit you because you're banned from the University of Toronto.
Wow, they are efficient, huh?
Yeah, so I'm still on their records, apparently.
Amazing. And there's no way of revoking this.
I don't know. Maybe I can talk to their security personnel or their police or whatever they're called.
Yeah, it seems.
Maybe they'll make an exception for this one time so I can get some dental treatment.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can find some recourse in that.
Yeah.
You're a good guy.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Greg, I know it's a pattern.
Yeah.
Our callers and ourselves are recommending people look at this movie, read that book. All of us. That's all we're doing, and none of us are doing it. Nobody's reading Finney's Wake or anything, following my suggestions.
No.
We're not following Heather's suggestions.
No.
She doesn't follow my suggestions. Nobody follows.
No.
We're just telling each other, like the call last week said, we're just displaying our book knowledge to each other.
Yeah, it's comforting.
And
it's comforting at the time, but afterwards you feel
it.
If somebody were to come and say, well, did you read that?
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I say to people around here, read the bylaws. Do you think anybody's going to read the bylaws?
No.
No.
All this content is going nowhere. We're quark particles, and same for you callers. You're quark particles, so but we still keep talking and participating, but nobody's receiving and actually implementing anything that anybody else says.
I mean, have you ever read, when you were living in Canada, did you ever read the Constitution of Canada?
No.
I haven't either. I don't know what my rights are. I have no idea.
It has nothing to do with anything.
I have no idea.
It's not important.
It's
an obsolete meme. It's a floating meme.
That's why Chavez was so wonderful. He handed out the Constitution to everybody in Venezuela. He went into the barrios and handed this stuff out to people and said, I know he's silly, but it's a good thing. It's a good silly. At least he's trying.
He's pretending people. I advocate on my other show that people should stop. Not go to school. Don't learn to read. It's going to make you stupid. Don't read.
All right. It's interesting. Interesting view.
Yeah, no,
anyway,
they've got to get tuned into the technology of our time. Get your iPhone. Get your email. That's all. Now it's going to lead to the devastation that we have now economically, but you don't want to know and understand that, so let's go back and talk about whatever Mad Magazine told Greg to remember, okay?
Well, I had to read that a little. I had to read that a little. I wouldn't have got some of the jokes if
well,
I hadn't
read
it.
Understanding media. You're reading Understanding Media, right? That's tough, right?
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. I'm sorry you even brought up Marsh McLuhan. That book was just confounding me. You're on the air.
Yes, Greg.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah, I'm home.
Yeah.
It was a lot longer coming here than it was getting down there.
Well, it's downhill. You were going uphill.
The teleportation device didn't work as effectively, and I think some of my molecules have went off into Ottawa or Montreal, where the Kingston.
No. There's one. There are a few sitting right on the chair that I think that's. Those are molecules.
Yeah. You can mail them to them.
Because I need all the parts put back together again so I can function.
Okay.
And if you can send them in the mail.
All right, I will. I'll scrape them up and send them off to you.
Because I need them all for the rest of the week.
Okay.
But
did you listen to the show while you're on the car?
Yeah, I listened to a bit. Heather was good, getting after it pretty good.
Yeah. She's on her warpath again.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But like I say, I'm home now, but I'm a bit out of breath. I'll continue to listen, but if you can send me the rest of me, please.
I will.
Bye for now.
Okay. So this, getting back, Metropolitan Kirill. What kind of a name is that? This is this cleric, this patriarch.
The Russian patriarch.
It's the first patriarch elected since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991.
There you go.
Hey, Kirill.
Dr. Beer stuff.
Kirill 62 replaces Alexei II, a conservative credited with reviving the church and transforming its place in Russian society before his death from illness last month. I very much decry this Alexei II. Kirill's tenure as the 16th Russian Orthodox patriarch is likely to be defined by his relations to two powerful institutions, the Kremlin and the Catholic Church. Kirill is hoped to establish better ties with Catholics than Alexei. Alexei didn't like the Catholics, evidently, who accused Rome of trying to poach Orthodox believers and resisted meeting the Pope. I can get into that one. That I like Alexei for. We got another call. No, we don't. Hey, first one. That's the first one we did this this show where we.
The reason I didn't like the Vatican is that the Vatican was Bolshevik controlled in the 90s.
Kirill
is. And you see the battle happening right now. They're asking the Pope to resign because of what he said about what the other priest, the Lefebvreist priest, who denied the Holocaust. He apologized, but the Pope wasn't tough enough, and they're asking the Pope to resign. This is part of the battles of the decline of the Bolshevik controlled world we're witnessing.
Yeah, I think the Pope is going to, I think what's going to happen is he's going to ask that priest to resign, but he's going to bounce it all off by beatifying Ernst Zundel.
Ernst Sunbelt used to be a big deal on the international connection with Dave Neufeld on Newswave. He used to go on. He went and interviewed Sundbelt, played him, and all that. You know, Dave Neufeld, he checked it out with the Evergreens, and he was a reincarnation of a Nazi concentration camp victim. So Dave Neufeld had a lot of issues, and so he identified with Sundbelt and took him on. The only guy at CKM 25 years ago did that.
He actually had Ernst Sundbelt he interviewed
him. Yeah, I don't know if he interviewed him and broadcast it and had an ongoing dialogue with him.
Well, that's the thing with these people. It's quote-unquote Holocaust deniers. Yeah. We never really know what their point is. Unless you have to explore it on your own. It makes people curious that there isn't more exposition. I would think that it's counterproductive if people are trying to convince people that these people are so idiotic. Just to say, oh, they're idiotic. A huge percentage of, or I don't know, so anybody, even people who don't like to read, might start be interested in reading to find out what they're not learning. But this guy, I don't know, I haven't seen much exposition with this particular guy. He came out, crawled out of the woodwork somewhere. But the Pope, it doesn't seem like the Pope is that against Holocaust denial, really.
Nope.
Seems like he's willing to consider it.
He's a forthright guy.
Yeah. They gave a bunch of excuses on the radio or on television.
And that's what Tom was saying. Freikorps. He's loyal Freikorps.
Yeah. So the John Anderson, he's an expert on Russian Orthodoxy at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. He says Kirill is probably more sympathetic to improving relations with the Vatican.
You see, if you read, you can get a job as a professor and be an expert and be quoted just because you read. And that's all the guy does is read about the Russian patriarchy.
Yeah, he can just say, hey, he's going to get together with Catholics. And suddenly he's in an article. And I'm reading it on the show.
Well, yeah. You know that journalists do that, Greg.
I know. They go
Profnet.
Yeah.
Profnet, and you offer your services, and journalists call you and quote you. Journalists don't have to do work anymore. They just go on email and find out somebody and get a quote.
So-and-so said.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Hi, Greg. Sorry to call it three times.
Three times, Heather.
Why is these people that are...
Hold on. I am... When it gets into this, I just lost Heather there, all right? And... I think that if you have somebody, even if you have somebody on that denies the Holocaust, or even, I think...
even heard of
the idea. I think that you can lose the license of the station. I think it's not, I mean, if you get into any detail, it's... little portion of this program is I dumped. So you're going to hear my voice go down and...
Well, it's 3 minutes, Greg. Are we going over? Is Rebecca looming?
I don't know. I'm looking for the... where is it? I thought I had a closing for this show.
Where's the moron,
man? Here's the ending. All right, here's... So we're going to go to this. Okay, let's see who's on the phone. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Greg.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I just heard.
I can't even.
That's what I'm saying about censoring yourself. Okay.
Barry Zwicker tried to get Howard Stern to say something on the air about the denial of the Holocaust, and even saying it pejoratively. Barry Zwicker. Howard Stern thought that Barry Zwicker was trying to get him to say it so that, just to say those words, even if he didn't believe it, so that he'd get kicked off the air. You're going to have to read about it. You're going to have to go and look somewhere else for it, or you're going to have to put the information up somewhere else.
No, I was going to talk about Russia at the time.
Okay, well, we don't have... You know what? We absolutely don't have the time.
I know.
So I'm going to let you go. We'll have to deal with this another time and work out the CRTC logistics.
Have a good weekend. Have a good week. Read Dr. Beter, worldreports.org.
Adios, muchachos. It's been nice to be here with you again. I'm glad to have spent this time with you. Thank you for being here, too, however long you were with us this morning. We normally start at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. I know it's a pretty wretched time to get up and listen to radio, but, you know, because
we're
you're not...
worth it.
Yeah, but I think it's... Yeah, why not? Now, I might be back. I just never know.
We don't know from moment to moment.
No. Yes, she's crying.
Yes, you guys always used to say, well, here's the sad part.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a corny ending,
well,
though.
We're Jim Littleton over at Commentary. It'll be on the air tomorrow morning. Thank you. This is CBC Radio in New York.
Oh.
Friends, I'm just glad this session ended.
Thank you for listening.